Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town. But I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. Could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay, straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite, I just need Spermcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning back into Spermcast. Today we have a very full episode. We've got big updates, some quick ultrasounds, a little bit of our favorite gal, Amanda, and then we have a wonderful interview with Matt and Dory from Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. Now, if you're just here to hear Matt and Dory, you can skip ahead to minute 22:45. I don't know why you would want to do that and miss out on all the interesting stuff about me, but whatever. Okay, so here are the updates. After my last failed IUI back in, I don't even remember when that was. I remember because it was my birthday. August 28th-ish, I got my period and I went straight to Dr. Kalen's office to see if I could start IVF immediately. There were 6 follicles on my right ovary, but one of those was like really kind of too large. And on the left ovary, there were 4, but one of those was also very large. I was scared that they were cysts.
All right.
Interesting.
What those two bigger ones can be is one of a couple things. They could be cysts. They could be left over from last month. They could also be early recruitment for this month, which would be kind of worst case scenario.
Right.
Because we don't want anything. We want them all to grow together. So if there's things that are already ahead, it's like they're getting a head start, and then
yeah.
They wouldn't finish the same time. So we can determine that by checking your estrogen level. So we're going to check your levels. And then we'll see if this is the right time to start or not.
Okay.
Based on that. I want to mostly see your estrogen level is low.
Right. And if it's high, that means that those are cysts?
If they're high, they're, like, doing stuff. Mm-hmm. In which case, whether they're cysts or whether they're early follicles
right.
or whatnot, I won't know. But what I know is if they're producing a lot of estrogen,
yeah.
then me giving you stimulation might just make them grow and
right.
not the other ones.
Right.
And that's not what we want.
Right.
I also asked him about the quantity of follicles because it seemed to me like my count was lower than usual. I remember months where he counted 8 and 9 and 10 on each ovary, but he reminded me that there were also months when I just had 2 or 3 on each ovary. His conclusion was that if the blood tests were to determine that those 2 larger follicles were just regular follicles and not cysts and not going to potentially disrupt the IVF hormones, then this would be a perfectly fine month to start IVF. Of course, I couldn't stop thinking, well, what if I have more follicles next month? I don't have an endless supply of money. I want to have the highest number of eggs possible. And then he reminded me that my follicle count could be lower next month, too. He said that since the count goes up and down month to month, that this is a respectable number of follicles and a fine time to start, as long as the blood test came back favorable. Then I told him I was scared.
I think it's normal to be scared. I think it's okay. I'm not scared.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard. I know it's scary, and I know it's like making the right decision at this point is not an easy thing to do. It's okay. Tissues are like, you can have as many as you want. And it's like a big weight, like, that you're carrying. Let's see how these numbers look. And if it looks awesome, then we're going to start.
Okay.
If it doesn't look awesome, we're going to wait.
Okay.
And we'll be able to talk about that. I mean, these levels will come back, like, late tonight. So
okay.
Tomorrow we'll talk about it.
You'll call me, or someone will call me with the number,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. So let's see how it looks, and then...
He's so kind. I knew I just needed to let him do his job and to trust him, but it's just really hard not to have doubts. Driving home, I recorded this.
I'm scared. That's it. That's all I got. Just that I'm scared. Scared that I'm I don't know. What if it's the wrong decision? What if it's the wrong month? What if my body isn't in the right shape? What if these follicles are all weird? I'm scared. But I guess, you know, I get started and in 4 or 5 days, if it's not the right time, if it's not the right month, then I won't have wasted too much money. It'll just be the cost of the ultrasounds so far. And the cost of the money, the cost of the medication. Okay, I'm not scared anymore. Great, bye.
That's right. I had a follow-up appointment scheduled for the next Monday, so if I started the injections and my ovaries weren't responding well, and there weren't a good amount of follicles on my next scan, then we could stop the process right there and continue next month, and I'd only have to pay the cost of the medications I'd already bought and the ultrasounds I'd already had. Knowing that I wasn't risking $15,000 definitely helped. But I still had my doubts, of course. When I got home, I emailed Dr. Kalin and asked him if I could come in for another scan the next day. I didn't hear back from him all day long, and then he called me at 10 p.m. He was still at work. He said he'd be working in Bakersfield the next day. I said, "That's fine. I'll drive to Bakersfield for another ultrasound." He said, "That won't be necessary. Let me see what your blood test results are tomorrow, and if I think we should start, you can come in and do another ultrasound with Dr. Winkler." And that's what happened. My blood test was good. My estrogen and my FSH were appropriately low, but I was happy to have another ultrasound with Dr. Winkler just for some added confidence. Her count was pretty much the same. She consulted with Dr. Kalin over the phone, and they concluded it was a great month to start. Or a good month. I don't know if it was great. So I sat down with Julie, the IVF nurse, and she showed me how to administer the medications. Yes.
What's this?
That's like a pretend belly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like pretend skin.
Okay.
Yeah. You will take out of your packages 2 vials of menopurine. Each vial will have powder inside of it.
Okay.
You will take out your sodium chloride, which is... think of it as your water.
Mm-hmm. From there, I headed to the pharmacy and spent my first huge chunk of money, $1,357.96, for 4 days of medication. That night, it was time to start the injections. And I'll just say, it was not like that last time when I did Follistim for the IUI. It was stressful and scary. I keep saying the word scared, but honestly, that's like the theme for the first week of IVF. I needed to do 2 injections, Gonal F, which was relatively easy. It's just all right there in a big pen, ready to go. And Menopure, which is freaky because you have to mix sodium chloride with 2 different vials of powder. You have to pierce the top of the vial, put the liquid in, mix it with the powder, draw the liquid back into the syringe, take that liquid, put that in another vial of powder, draw that back into the syringe. Then you have to change the needles. Then you have to stab yourself. It's like science, y'all. Doctor stuff. And I don't know why we civilians are responsible for this stuff. There's a lot of money riding on all of this. And mostly the bubbles freaked me out because no matter what, I always had bubbles. And when I try and flick the syringe to get the bubbles out like they do on TV, I'd squirt it and liquid would come out. And I just felt like I was terrified that I was losing too much liquid and fucking up the dosage. And if the dosage is wrong, then I could fuck up the whole IVF process. And there was a lot riding on these injections. I had to stop in the middle on the first night and FaceTime Hannah to have her walk me through it. Hannah, you remember, she did these injections last month. Anyway, I cried a bunch. She got me through it. Honestly, I can't tell you the amount of pressure I was feeling on that first night, just trying to hold it together to muster up the courage to do these injections and possibly lose $15,000, most of which was not even mine. It was hard, and I was not in a good, positive headspace, to say the least.
Push down the plunger of the syringe with a slow, steady motion.
I watched instructional videos online over and over again, and then finally followed along and did the injection while watching. Here's the Menopure shot.
Ow. Fuck, man. That button burns. I gotta get in the right headspace. This is tough tonight. Maybe I'll watch Bachelor in Paradise. I'm feeling like crap right now.
And here's the Gonal F shot.
If I can give birth, if I want to give birth, I should be able to fucking put a needle in my stomach. Okay. Oh, fuck. Okay. I hate this.
The next day, a couple Patreon subscribers reached out to me and asked me why I wasn't on human growth hormone. Apparently, it helps with egg quality. So I reached out to Dr. Kalen, like the annoying patient that I am, and he said, well, we could use it. It's not proven to work. It does increase egg quality, but we don't know if your egg quality is poor, and it's also really expensive. But since you brought it up, let's just do it. And I said, yeah, dude, let's just do it because I don't want to do this again. Anyway, after that, I headed up to Northridge Plaza Pharmacy, where meds are a little bit less expensive, and I bought 4 doses of human growth hormone and added it to my protocol. On Monday, after 5 days of injections, I headed over to Dr. Kalen's office to check up on my follicles.
8.5, 9, 11.5, 6, 14, 10, 7. There's a couple of little ones.
That was my right ovary. Now here's my left.
5, 9.5.
So big.
17.5, 7.5, 7, 13, 11.
So what did all this mean? And what was the deal with those huge ones?
A total of 14 follicles measured. But of that, that one's kind of big, that 17.5. These 5s are a little small. But everything else is pretty good.
Well, don't I need to worry about having that really big one because it makes they're not all growing at the same size?
I mean, if I have to, like, sacrifice that one to the egg gods that everything else is doing
fine. Oh, that can happen.
I just ignore it. We just let it go and then
what happens to it?
When we do the retrieval, like, we'll still retrieve all of them. It's just, like, that one, it might not be a good one.
Because it's too old? What happens to it?
Yeah, maybe it gets overcooked a little bit. No, I think we're looking fine.
Well, okay, so you think there's how many? 14 minus 3 or 4?
Yes, so we are going to check.
I think everything's okay.
I think everything is okay. So we're going to check your estrogen level.
Okay.
We're going to start the Antagon today.
What's that?
That's the one that prevents you from ovulating.
Okay. So then we continue with all the others or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I'll see you back on, Thursday.
Okay, so since everything was looking good, I headed on down to billing and gave them $9,450 or so. Then I headed up to Northridge to get more drugs, 2 more days worth at about $700. Plus, I bought Hannah's Menopur for about $400-something. I went home and injected the Cetrotide at 11 a.m. because the doctor told me to do it as soon as I got home and do it at the same time every single day. That would stop the ovulation from happening. So now I was up to 1 shot at 11 a.m. and 2 to 3 shots at night. The human growth hormone alternates nights. Cut to Thursday, my next appointment just so happened to be at 11 a.m., my injection time. So instead of injecting early at home, I thought I should probably do it at the exact right time. So I brought it with me to the doctor in a cooler bag, and I went into the bathroom at the clinic to inject myself. I was feeling kind of rushed, so I completely forgot to check for air bubbles before stabbing the needle into my tummy. I looked down and saw this huge bubble about a centimeter wide in the syringe, and I panicked and I pulled out the needle without suppressing the syringe. I buttoned up my pants and peeked out of the bathroom with the needle in my hand, crying, "Help!" Thankfully, Julie came around, and as I held back my tears, she fixed the syringe and sent me back to the bathroom to finish the job. When I was finished, I had my next ultrasound after 8 days of injections.
Right ovary, so we're measuring the follicles. 12.5 millimeters. This is a bigger one. I think.
Oh, my God.
We had a big one on the right before, right?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
This is a 21.
God.
Okay.
Okay.
14.5. 8.5, 13.5, 17, 14.5, 14.5, on the left side.
And the big one, it doesn't mean anything bad. Oh my God.
It doesn't mean anything bad.
It's not going to cause the other ones to not grow.
No. And the medicine you're taking, that Ganirelix, that is designed to prevent you from ovulating.
That is the same as Cetrotide?
Yes.
Okay.
Look, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, and I know I've already said it 1,000 times, but I just want you to know how freaked out I am at this point. I don't fucking know what's going on. I don't know if I'm doing anything right. There's just so much riding on all of this. Okay, let's move on to my left ovary.
25.
Good God.
12, 12.5, 14.5, 20, 15.5. All right, so we're getting growth of all these follicles. These two are charging ahead.
Yeah.
All of these are growing pretty nicely together. So we're good. We're after 8 days. Saturday will be after 10 days. That's making me think we're probably looking at Monday or Tuesday for retrieval. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Okay, so this is it. We'll check the estrogen level.
After that, he scheduled me for another ultrasound on Saturday to determine which day we would do the trigger and which day we would do the retrieval. And they took some blood to test hormone levels, and then I went back to the pharmacy to get a whole new round of drugs and spend over $1,000. On Friday, I got to meet up with Amanda to give her the rundown, and I pretty much told her everything I just told you, but here are some of the highlights. I mean, I did make her do the interview, so I might as well, you know, play some of it. A little palate cleanser.
Hi, Molly. How's it going?
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Gotcha.
Got me.
Hi. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You look really good.
I do?
Yeah, you look fresh.
I feel good, but I don't feel like I look good.
I feel like I look like shit.
Oh, you look great. You just came back from jury duty.
Yeah.
And they let you go.
Yeah, and then they let me go.
Wow.
Isn't the justice system incredible?
And you were doing your civic duty.
I'm proud.
That's good. That's good. So last my listeners heard, I was contemplating whether or not to do IVF or not.
Right.
So then I filled her in on everything. You've heard it all already.
And human growth hormone, is that, what do people typically use that for?
I don't know.
Isn't that, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
I think that's maybe why you look so good.
Because I don't know why you think I look good. I don't have any.
You have like a tan.
Oh,
and
God.
Your skin looks good. Let me just like look up. Human growth hormone uses.
I just got out of the shower.
It slows aging.
No.
That's what people say.
But I only took 2 vials.
Isn't that like what actors take? Like guys take? Let me see.
No, guys take testosterone.
Growth hormone, athletic performance, and aging. Can human growth hormones really benefit aging, like the elusive fountain of youth?
I think kids who aren't growing take it.
I mean, this is like doping.
I guess I couldn't be in the Olympics right now.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, it's too bad you can't play in the basketball games.
I know.
You'd be flying.
Yeah. I guess that brings me to the next section of like effects of these hormones. So you're giving yourself Menopur and Gonal F, and I can't remember what does what, but basically they work in conjunction to make your ovaries grow as many follicles as possible at the same rate, rather than one of them surging ahead like would happen in a regular menstrual cycle. And so you get a bunch of large follicles on your ovaries, and you start feeling like you've got like bricks in your pelvis, like sloshing
horrible.
Around down there. Not bricks. That sounds sharp and painful.
Like poles.
No, lumps like a pole. What's like a heavy? Oh, you know those like those round.
Oh,
things
like the
that you spin
stress
in your,
balls.
The stress balls that you. What are they? Japanese?
I think they're Chinese.
And they make that nice humming noise.
Yeah,
it's kind of like those are clonking around.
Mm.
Oh, or like testicles.
Yeah, stress testicles. Same. You use the same motion.
Yeah, same motion of your hand.
Oh, well, that's terrible.
And so every time I like sit down, I'm like, oh, and, you also feel like bloated and like you're kind of constipated.
Gotcha.
There's one more thing I just remembered. I did a blood test yesterday and Julie, the nurse, called me at night and told me that my thyroid levels are elevated and then I need to take another drug. So
oh,
I started
God.
Taking, but it's a pill. Mm. So I started taking levothyroxine last night, which is weird. I said, why are they high? She said, well, they're not high for like a regular person, but if you're going to be pregnant, they're high for a pregnant person. And so we thought we should get it to the right level now.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm taking this another pill, but it's weird. I never thought there was anything wrong with my thyroid before.
It sounds like there isn't, but
right.
Also is.
I don't know.
So then you would do the egg retrieval either Monday or Tuesday. And
yes.
Then what goes from there? Because I really don't know anything about IVF.
I don't know fully. In fact, I knew nothing. So let's head over to my ultrasound on Saturday with Dr. Kalen, where he'll answer some of those questions.
15, 24, 7, 17, 10.5. I'm measuring everything, so we're going to have more of them today.
Gotcha,
but,
that's okay.
But these are...
Thank you.
7, 17, 16, 13. On the left side, 22, 22, 17.5, 28, 14, 13.5, 18, 17. I'm going to trigger tomorrow.
Okay.
Retrieval Tuesday. All right, cool.
What, when you retrieve, what's the smallest follicle size that would lead to a mature egg?
That's a really good question that no one has an answer to. Generally, we expect somewhere in the 14 to 15 range is that kind of where we expect it. So we have a couple of 13s and 14s that we want to give an extra day to. The biggest one or two are probably going to be too big, but this 22 will be all right. 11 days of stimulation is a good long time. That's what you'll be at tomorrow.
Okay.
And we're kind of like threading that needle.
Okay.
I don't want to go longer than that. Like 12 days is a long time of stimulation. The trigger shot is going to be tomorrow. We're going to go over those instructions. Mm-hmm. The retrieval will be on Tuesday morning. At some point, we'll figure out what time that is, and that will determine the time for the trigger shot.
Mm-hmm.
The retrieval procedure is a lot like this, except you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Ultrasound probe goes in, and there's a long, thin needle on that probe, and we put it up into the ovary. We drain the fluid out of the follicles, and with the fluid, that's where we found the egg. We get the sperm into the egg, make the embryos grow in the laboratory.
How long is the testing? How long does that take, and how soon would the FET be?
If the testing, the results take about a week to get back.
Okay.
And then the FET is with your following period. So you usually get a period about 2 weeks after the retrieval.
Okay.
And then that's usually right around when we get the results from the testing back. And then with the third day of that period, you come in, you start taking estrogen pills, come back about a week later.
So it's like 3 weeks. So it would be more like October 21st. Wow. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. No, you might be right. Retrieval on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. My mom's birthday.
My daughter's birthday.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I like that. So your period comes about here. So we're taking estrogen here, come back here, come back here, and the transfer is on my wedding anniversary.
Oh, these are good things.
Yeah, these are all like...
Except later than I realized it would take.
You just said October 21st.
I did.
Like, that was weird.
That's really weird.
Like, that would be exactly when I would, like, if I mean, based on all the years we have here. That's cool.
That's weird.
Good day. You're doing good.
Okay, so did you catch that? If I've got a bunch of embryos and they go off for PGS testing and some of them come back normal, I would probably do my first fetal embryo transfer on or about October 21st. I went on to ask Dr. Kalin a bunch of other questions, but to save time, I'm going to post those in my Patreon. In fact, the whole ultrasound will be posted in the Patreon. In fact, all of the ultrasounds are posted in the Patreon, but, you know, this is a particularly interesting one. Anyway, if you want to look at the Patreon, go to patreon.com/spermcast and chip in a dollar or two or five a month and have access to all kinds of cool things. Written posts, audio posts, video posts. It's so exciting. You know what? If you want to hear the rest of the interview I did with Amanda, you can go to patreon.com/spermcast and hear that there as well. But for now, I'm going to tell you what happened next. Okay, so I had my ultrasound, and then I went to the pharmacy and spent, I think, $500 for my final two or three injections. After the pharmacy, I headed to my interview with today's guests. Our interview is at 11 a.m., and that's when I take my Cetratide. So I had to pull the car over and inject myself in the car. I was in a pretty sketchy neighborhood, and so that was weird and awkward. Anyway, I got to interview Matt Myra and Dori Shafrir. Some of you may know who they are because they have their very own podcast. Dori Shafrir is the author of a novel called Startup. She's got another podcast called Forever 35 in which she talks about everything wellness, self-care, getting older, serums. And Matt Myra, he has two other podcasts, James Bonding and Star Trek The Next Conversation. I think you can probably guess what those are about. He's also a writer, producer on The Goldbergs on ABC. But together, they have their very own, very successful and beloved podcast called Matt and Dori's Eggcellent Adventure.
Yeah.
With an EGG, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about their fertility journey. Or for a while it was infertility journey? Yeah. How do you describe the show?
Still infertility. I mean, we're not. Yeah? We haven't suddenly become fertile people.
That's true. I guess not.
As we used to introduce every show, my sperm's dumb.
Right. And my eggs are old.
And I started listening to you guys before I knew you, and Dory's pumping right now.
Yeah, so you hear a little tick.
That's a spoiler.
Totally is.
That's very funny.
No, she pumps just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't have
any milk
in there.
I try to make myself lactate. It's not working. What am I doing wrong?
But if you do hear any clicking noise, there's a...
It's the LV.
It's this LV pump, and... But are you okay? Do you need a break?
I am. This side, like...
No suction?
It's, like, not sucking totally as well as I want it to be.
Is there a clog?
I did have a clog last night, and I had to use my Spectra to get it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I love the LV. It's very convenient. You just stick it in your bra. No wires, no nothing. But it doesn't do as good a job as, like, the more traditional pump.
Well,
as,
you know, look, it's like a corded drill versus a cordless
right,
drill.
Right, at getting out clogged ducts.
Oh yeah, I don't really know. I got a lot to learn about clogged ducts.
We'll have a talk.
And I hope I hope they're gonna have to learn this soon.
I hope you will have some clogged ducts.
Thank you.
May your ducts be clogged, Molly.
Okay, so tell us where you started. First, I know you met on Tinder. I just heard that.
That's number one.
Yeah, we did.
That's the most important part.
We met on Tinder as fully formed adults.
Wow.
Which I think is the best way to meet people on Tinder.
Great.
We were both kind of over everything else.
Oh, good.
We also lived a block away from each other.
And
big
didn't know
help.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
big
such
help.
A dream.
And we had a bunch of mutual friends.
Oh, my God.
I only was on it for one weekend.
On what?
Tinder.
Oh. Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's so annoying.
Son of a bitch.
It's so annoying.
I've been on and off of dating apps for 12 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. So we met and things moved quickly because when we met, I was already 36. Mm-hmm. And then we got engaged the following February.
Wow.
And then we got married in October. And after we got engaged, we were like, well, you know, I was 37. I was like, we should just start trying. And then I was like, I'll probably, you know, it'll be annoying to be pregnant at my wedding. But
discussions were had about it's going to suck if I can't drink at my wedding.
But like, okay, whatever. But then, of course, I didn't get pregnant.
Oh, foolish people. We
kept trying. And then in like March or April of the following year, we finally went to see a reproductive endocrinologist and we found out that Matt's sperm is dumb, as he puts it.
As I had said, it would be.
Yeah. Matt like knew.
Yeah. I had been so heavy for a lot of my life that I just assumed that I had baked everything into non-workingness. So I had never gotten anybody pregnant. I just had the feeling. I was like, you know, I bet temperature is a problem. I was riding a bike a lot. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm doing all the things that they're like, don't do these things. Okay. So then I finally went to a urologist. Oh my God, it's even crazy to think about. Well, that first result, wasn't it a million?
Mm-hmm. That's
a million sperm.
Wow.
By the way,
like
I was like, this is
not
the most ever. No one's ever had a million sperm. I'm doing all right. Then the doctor finishes the sentence. Normal's between 80 and 120 million. I was like, ooh.
Hold on. I have to say, the milk has come out and I see milk.
Yes. Yeah.
She's taking the pods out of her bra.
She's really done it, everybody.
There's
the LV,
milk in there.
The LV has succeeded. In producing,
you know, I need to ask if you've tasted the milk.
I have not.
I've tasted breast milk before,
and
it's great.
What's your report?
Why haven't you tasted it?
I just feel like that's stealing from my baby.
Oh, it's true. I guess so.
Like, there's not like a ton that comes out, and he needs to eat all of it. And okay. I mean, I'm not like gonna like go 6 hours later and lick the inside of a bottle that's empty. But that's just me. So once we found out that my sperm was low, then we were like, okay, now we have to go to a reproductive endocrinologist.
So they ended up going to a couple different reproductive endocrinologists, a woman in Beverly Hills and then USC. And then they went to California Fertility Partners, CFP, the same clinic I went to when I froze my eggs back in 2015.
So we started with Dr. Ringler. And, you know, Dory's follicle count was...
It was
very
decent.
Good, yeah, for a 37-year-old.
And well, by that point, I was 39.
I don't even see. So, yeah, you were 39, so then that would have made me probably 20. I'm very young.
15.
How old was I?
You were 32.
Yeah, I was 32.
You're a youngin'?
Oh, I'm very young. I'm 36.
Oh my God. That's wild.
Yeah.
So our first round, we had four embryos make it to blastocyst.
Wait, quick question. You didn't try any IUIs or anything because his sperm count was so low.
We essentially went in going like, give us ICSI.
Gotcha.
They said you have to go straight to...
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had four embryos make it to blastocyst, and then of those, one was normal.
Okay.
And we decided we were going to do another retrieval before we did a transfer because we wanted more than one child.
Good. That makes sense.
At the time. And then we did a second round. I think we got three embryos make it to blastocyst, and then one was normal, and one was like inconclusive. They said it had a microdeletion on a chromosome, and they were like, we don't know what this means. It could be fine. It could be a problem.
Okay.
Then we did a transfer. The transfer didn't work. And
then failed miserably, actually.
Yeah.
And you transferred one?
Transferred one.
Girl okay. embryo.
We transferred a girl embryo.
I wanted a girl.
You did?
I did.
Yeah, he really did.
Aw.
And then after that, we went back to see the doctor to potentially do another retrieval. He suggested doing an ERA, which is an endometrial.
You wanted to do another retrieval because you only at this point now had one and an inconclusive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like, I want to do this endometrial receptivity test. So also,
we go in like thinking, okay, we're going to do another round.
He only saw like two follicles, which was like much lower than any other time. And he was like, look, it varies month to month.
Yeah.
And then he was like, are you stressed? And I was like, yes, of course I'm stressed. And he was like, well, you should try to be less stressed. And I kind of lost it.
Yeah.
And was like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? Like, of course I'm trying to be less stressed. Like, is he not going to give me any like suggestions of how to be less stressed? And then we decided to switch doctors.
Smart.
So we stayed at the same clinic, but we switched to a different doctor in the practice. And when we met with her,
which was handy because we didn't have to transfer records or anything like that.
Yeah, and you didn't have to transfer or transport your embryo.
But we did have to pay another consultation fee.
Are you kidding me?
No.
It's like at every turn, they're just like, how can we wring more money out of them?
Yeah. Listeners, this is where my eggs are frozen right now. And it's the reason I switched to Dr. Kaling, because they're very expensive.
Yeah.
They're a great company, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, look, they have
they do good work.
They have a lot of very happy client babies.
Right.
And look, I get it. Like, you know, we had this consultation with the new doctor, and she spent a lot of time with us and really went through all our records. Yeah. Like, I do think she should be compensated for her time, but I did think it was a little annoying that you don't even get any sort of discount.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Like, buy one, get one at 25% off.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Sure.
But she decided that we should do this other test of my endometrial lining area, whatever. Basically, they're trying to figure out if they're transferring the embryo at the right time, because some women are pre-receptive and some women are post-receptive. So
I have a quick question, actually, before you even move on. After you do your how do you prepare your uterine lining for the FET?
How did I do it? It was...
Is it butt shots?
So I did butt shots for the first transfer, and then for the second, I did suppositories.
Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay, okay.
So we did this endometrial function test, and as part of it, they did a hysteroscopy, which is when they put a camera up your...
Into your cervix,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they found out that I had a uterine septum, which basically means that at birth, the two halves of my uterus never fused correctly, which means that there was basically no chance that the first embryo would have implanted.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have gotten enough blood or oxygen or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was a waste.
So then I had to have surgery to fix that. And then we did another retrieval and got one more normal embryo. Then we did another transfer of that embryo. That was another girl embryo. And I had a chemical pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did two more retrievals after that and got no normal embryos.
Good God.
And at that point, this was now...
So now we're at four then or five?
Five. Now we're at last summer. So summer of 2018. And it was like June or July, and we had to decide, like, are we going to transfer this last normal embryo, or are we going to like switch clinics and do another retrieval at a different clinic? Mm-hmm. Are we like, what are we going to do? And because I was just like convinced that it wasn't going to work with this. Yeah. But we were like, okay, we just need to transfer this last embryo and then we can kind of take it from there. Mm-hmm. Whether that means just like nothing, whether that means doing another retrieval somewhere else, whether
getting another dog. Maybe we get a smaller dog. Maybe we get a couple of other bows.
Yeah, we have an 80-pound dog.
Yeah.
Named Bo.
So we did this transfer last August.
And this was the transfer of your embryo from the very first...
The second retrieval.
Okay.
So, yeah, so he had been on ice for 2 years, and it was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
We transferred it. I was sure it hadn't worked. My parents were visiting like a week after the transfer. And I remember sure we were at the Getty Villa. And we were having lunch. And I think my parents asked like how I was feeling. I forget.
It's not where it was.
What?
Yes, it was.
It's not where it was.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. It was.
Honey, finish the story and then I'll tell you where it was.
No, where was it?
It was at Tara.
No, that's not where it was. That's not where we had this conversation.
Which conversation was this?
This was a conversation where I was
that was
like,
the one where I got mad at you, too.
Yeah, you got mad at me at the Getty Villa also.
No.
Yeah, you did.
All right.
Anyway, I was like, whatever. I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't think it worked. And Matt was like, you can't say that.
That was a terror. I have a photographic memory for these kinds of things, and I know exactly where
you
were.
I thought you were going to say you had a photograph of her.
I have a photograph at the moment where she got mad.
Anyway.
And then the zucchini came.
Point being, I was like really sure it was not going to work.
And I was sure it would work.
Yeah.
And the reason I was sure it was going to work was because we knew the PGS number on this embryo. And once we got the chemical pregnancy taken care of after the septum, I was like, oh. That tells us your body can produce the chemicals and get pregnant.
Chemical pregnancy was before or after?
It was post-septum.
Okay.
So I found the septum, removed the septum. Then we go to put a transfer in, and then we get a chemical pregnancy. So I felt like each step of the way...
That one was PGS tested too, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Was good quality?
I felt like each step of the way we were making forward progress.
Yeah.
So I felt like now that your body is like... Oh, when that happens, I have to produce this chemical. Okay. This is not science. It's just my stupid brain.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like now with this good embryo, it would be like, oh, I know the drill. Here's some of that chemical. Enjoy.
I got you. Your body knows how to do it now.
Yeah. So I felt like once we hit the point where I was like, okay, the runway is clear.
Yeah.
The you know how to line up for the takeoff. Here you go. Here's a
then I give birth to a plane.
Yep. Plane baby.
Yep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So, okay, I'm going to go back to, we just talked about this on your podcast. By the way, listeners, we recorded an episode of their podcast as well. I'm on that, and you should listen. It's a good one, and you should listen to their podcast in general. This whole story happens in real time on their podcast, and
it does.
It's very interesting.
It's crazy
but
to
also
think
they
about.
Get a lot they have a huge they have a big Facebook group.
There's a really great Facebook group.
Very informative.
An active community of listeners.
And very supportive of each other.
Yeah. And they all send and they send in questions to you guys each week often and then you guys read those back and have answers and it's a really good podcast.
It also feels like a lot of times we read the questions and ask the audience to answer. And then we read the answers to those eventually. Yeah. It's sort of like we are the vessel.
What we have found is that 99% of the time when people write in with like this problem that no one has or you know I've never met anyone with this issue or I feel so alone and blah blah blah, like we hear from people who have had the same issue, like no one is alone in this journey.
Yeah,
your problem was at some point someone else's problem.
Yeah,
When I said we just talked about this on your podcast, what was... Oh, it was about the 2 week wait. About all of the... I wanted to ask about all of the waiting that you had to do and waiting for these phone calls and emails that you got. And I don't know. Ugh. I just want somebody to talk about it other than me. I want my listeners to know how fucking awful that whole scenario is. And also you feeling negative about it. I'm just currently dealing with people saying, oh, that's so exciting that you're doing IVF. And I keep just saying, yeah, I'm hopeful, but I'm not like excited. Yeah. And I don't know. You talk about it for a second. Make me feel better.
Well, I mean, first I'm going to make you feel worse.
That's fine.
Because one of the annoying differences between IUI and IVF that I feel like people don't talk about is that with IVF, there's the 2 week wait, but then there's also like the 1 week wait, which is the wait between when they do the retrieval and when you find out how many embryos made it to blastocyst.
Yeah.
And that wait sucks.
It's going to be rough.
That wait is really rough. I hated that wait.
Don't they give you an update every day about...
Well, so our clinic used to... And now they don't because they think it's better for the embryos to leave them undisturbed. They think they have better success rates.
Rather than like taking a microscope to it
and seeing like how
many
doing?
Cells you got today, bud.
Yeah.
I wonder what my clinic does.
My first couple of retrievals, we got an update on day one, like how many fertilized and how many embryos had like been created. And then we got an update on day three, how many of them were growing.
That was the shock, I think. That first round to go, we only got one, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I felt like no one had adequately prepared us for like the radical like reduction in numbers, which I now know is totally normal.
Yeah.
Especially given my age. But even like younger, I mean, I see this happen in the Facebook group all the time. Like someone will post, I just had my retrieval and I got 20 eggs. Like, is that a good number? And it's like they kind of know it's a good number. And I feel like they're hopeful in a way that like, yeah, you should be hopeful. But also like a lot of people get 20 eggs and end up with no embryos. Yeah. And like that happens all the time. Like they'll be like, they'll update a few days later and they'll be like, we didn't get any embryos make it to blastocyst. So like, I feel like no one prepares you for that.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And then you have another wait when you find out how many are normal.
Yeah, after the genetic testing.
Yes, after genetic testing. So
and how long does
then
that
you have
take?
A 9 month wait.
That takes like 7 to 10 days. that takes a while, and then you prepare for the FET,
right?
And then you do the FET, and then you have your 2 week wait. We felt like the goalposts were constantly shifting,
and there's so much decision making too, and like
you would never
know
exactly. You never know if you're making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
So you just have to
Trust the doctors that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
like the other thing too about IVF that I find so annoying is that no one knows. It's really just a scattershot.
Yeah.
It's like, well, let's just see if we throw, 50 pellets into this thing and shoot at a target, we might hit the target.
Yeah.
We don't know. So your first round of IVF is really everybody trying to just, we're going to go with what works most of the time for most people. But then everybody's different. So then what you essentially have to do is you have to hone your cycle and your protocol over a number of fucking rounds.
Yeah.
It's really stressful and terrible.
That's
it's like,
true.
You know what? This time we're going to try this chemical at this time. And we think that might work. There's a new study that says this. We're going to try this now. So that whole thing of the goalposts constantly moving is absolutely just how it feels always.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about it like that. But yeah, they're really just trying to figure your body out individually.
And the only way to do that sometimes is to put you through it.
Right.
To like go, okay, here's how many follicles she has today.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay, all right, let's do the retrieval. Great, we got this many eggs. Let's see if any of these are mature. Okay. And then like they just have to keep changing it until they finally land on a protocol that works for you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had such high hopes for that last round, meaning like she was excited about the protocol. She thought she solved
everything
the problem.
Looked good. We had 4 embryos make it to blastocyst.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, okay. And then none of them were normal.
Yeah. So part of me thinks I've kind of maybe ruined it with the secret. Like I put it out in the world, the bad vibe of like this won't work, and then it didn't work.
Well,
did I ruin it?
No.
I might have
heard. Well, I try not to think like that anymore.
Right.
Because the, all the positive thinking that I do hasn't worked.
Exactly. I was going to say that because I did not have a positive mental attitude around the transfer that worked.
Yeah.
I had a very negative attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And so I do feel like a lot of times we get caught up in this idea of like, well, we have to stay positive.
Yeah.
I don't think that actually makes a difference at all.
I don't think so either. It hasn't for me. I mean, yeah. I have zero control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And once you acknowledge that, it's actually very freeing.
Yeah.
And you like, I finally had to just like allow myself to be angry at the whole process and be like, you know what, this really sucks. And yeah. like, I don't have any control over it and I hate it and I feel like it's never going to work. And once I kind of like let myself feel that, it was freeing instead of being like, well, I gotta stay positive.
Yeah.
You know,
I went through a whole period of like sleeping with crystals, like down on my ovaries. I had this weird charm that I was wearing around my neck that somebody gave me that said like, this has been passed on through this woman and the other women. And then I was also reading a book that said I needed to sing lullabies to my baby. That's wherever wow. it was, and talk to my spirit guides. Mm. And I was trying skeptically, like all it did was add to the stress and yes. add to the amount that I was thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I could just like not think about it and just, yeah, do what I can to keep my body in good health. And, you know, I don't know.
But also all that stuff, I think, has the result of making you believe that some of it is in your control.
Yeah.
And that therefore it's your fault
if it doesn't
work out because you didn't like one night you forgot to put the crystal on your ovary.
Yeah.
You know?
Or I use the anti-fertility crystal instead of the...
You grabbed the wrong one.
That's it. That's
this
why.
This one's the birth control crystal.
Yeah. It's just like, no. Yeah, so I think a lot of that stuff is just bullshit and has the result of, like, especially making women just feel bad about what they're doing.
Yeah. I want to get back to these butt shots.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Is this something that I can do by myself?
Yes,
you always had Matt do it.
No, I wasn't. I was not around for it a lot.
But it's hard to do by yourself.
Is it? I mean, like, is it the angle? Okay,
and it's a long needle,
right?
So it's like the combination of the angle and the long needle, and just like where you're supposed to be doing it, and it's hard. But people mm-hmm. do it.
Okay.
I mean, you did it most of the time by yourself, right?
Not the PIO shots.
Really?
Yes, because you...
I was there?
I don't
what
think you were...
What does PIO mean?
Progesterone in oil.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's in oil. So you also have to like massage it, or you get like bumps under your skin. It's not fun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because when I was doing the shots, you were not working at the time. So you were around a lot.
I would have loved
and
it.
You were doing the shots for me, except for when you went to Las Vegas.
Oh, and that's when...
And
that's
guy
when
loves I was, Las Vegas.
I do. I love Vegas and guitars, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So why 1 month was it the shots and 1 month the suppositories?
The shots were with a different doctor. Mm-hmm. were with the first doctor, and mm-hmm. then the second doctor said we could do the suppository. Some people think that the shots work better. Some people, you know.
I have a whole box full of the suppositories at home, and you can buy them online for a lot less money. So I'm just curious.
That's a hot tip.
Yeah, there's some, I can't remember what it's called.
We'd also, you were not responding to the estrogen patch either, which was the thing that we had to
I didn't know you had to take
out.
Estrogen. Or
you well, do.
It was part of a protocol.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll find out.
Yeah. You're going to find many, many combinations of, well, hopefully they, you know, you respond to the main thing, the main combination, like the regular, whatever the hell. Whatever their build your own burger is, like,
right.
Here, this is it. This is good. And then they find out you don't like pickles. Hopefully you like pickles.
Well, that would
and
be,
this all works
that
for you.
That would be wonderful. Yeah. That would be really wonderful. Okay, so you got pregnant.
Yeah.
Quickly tell me how your pregnancy was. Was it everything you ever imagined?
The first weeks, like 6 through 14 to 16, were really hard. I got really sick. I got really nauseous and throwing up all the time and like could barely get out of bed and could only eat like saltines, toast.
That was a rough time.
It was cereal. I was eating cereal. It was like, it was so bad. It was really bad. And I was on this medication called Diclegis.
Oh, I haven't heard of it.
Which is prescribed for nausea in pregnancy, mm-hmm. but it makes you drowsy. Oh. And so, and I was on the highest dose. So in addition to feeling nauseous all the time and not being able to get out of bed, I also felt tired all the time. And like my brain was kind of like in a fog. It just really sucked. And then it kind of gradually started getting better. I started going for longer periods without puking. Mm-hmm. And then right around like the 16 week mark, I started really feeling better. And then my second and third trimesters were like pretty great. Like I felt good. I was like working out. I could eat things again. Mm. Like, and then towards the end of my third trimester, on my 32 week ultrasound, they were like, oh, your fluid's low. You're probably just dehydrated. But there's a possibility that like your placenta isn't working like the way it should be, which is terrifying. But I like super hydrated for like 5 days and then I came back in. They were like, okay, like looks great. And oh, I was like, good. Okay, thank God.
What does super hydrating mean?
Oh my God.
Like never, how much water
never
should
was
I?
Not
I was basically drinking all the time.
Okay.
Like every second of the day I was drinking water.
Okay.
And then everything was fine. He hadn't dropped and he was still really high. Like he basically just wasn't ready to come out. And I went in on my due date for an ultrasound and they were like, everything looks great, except your fluid is really low.
We had a lot of plans too, by the way.
Oh yeah. Because
we
oh,
were
yeah.
like, there was a point like probably like, you know, the start of the eighth month where we're like, I don't think this baby's
ninth
coming.
Month.
Nah, that's what I meant. Yeah. The end of the eighth month. We're like, I don't know if this baby's really in any rush to get here.
And my doctor was like, I'll let you go to 42 weeks.
Okay. That's 9.5.
Yeah. Like 40 weeks is like your due date.
So
yeah.
She bought concert tickets for past his due date.
I was going to like, excited. I was going to go to the Bikini Kill show.
I was excited to see the Avengers Endgame.
I hadn't been having any contractions. I had no Braxton Hicks. I had nothing. Like the baby, like he was just like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then I went in on my due date and they were like, your fluid's really low. Mm. And the radiologist was like, your doctor is probably going to say you have to be induced tonight. And I was like, what?
And we were like, yeah, whatever.
And then we went to see my doctor and she's like, I need you to go to the hospital tonight.
Wow. So they induced with Pitocin?
They induced with like every drug known to man. It was a nightmare. It was a 40-hour induction. And then in the end, I ended up having a C-section.
That's always what happens. I feel like every time I hear about Pitocin, it ends in a C-section.
Yeah. So I had said to my doctor, like, I've heard so many stories with people who were induced and they end in a C-section. That's just the only thing that I don't want. And of course, that's what I had.
Well, oh my gosh.
Matt wanted to schedule a C-section.
I wanted to schedule it. I wanted to schedule it because I was like, here's the only way that we can actively prevent an unscheduled emergency C-section is to schedule one at a reasonable time and do it.
I felt,
and
but Dr. I felt like,
and
no, she did not want to do
Dr.
that.
Brown, oh my God. Dr. Brown and I had many, many shared looks over an angry Dory.
I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I have to at least give it a shot.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm glad I did.
Yeah. You got to find out what labor felt like.
Well, I never went into labor.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So
he was just nestled in there having a good time.
He was really nestled in there. He was real cozy. And then I had the C-section and it sucked.
That was horrifying.
But baby was fine.
Yeah.
Baby was healthy.
What did he weigh?
8 pounds, 5 ounces.
Nice.
Nice, healthy baby.
Yeah.
Nice, chonky baby.
But it was like, I mean, it was just, you know, it's just that again felt bad because it's like a thing I knew that she didn't want at all. And then like we have to go in there and then I'm like trying to hold her while like she's shaking violently from the medication that they gave her.
Oh, my God.
They were like worried that she was going to get a fever and then the baby was going to get a fever. So they had to do it then. And then I had like the guy, I got kicked out of the OR because the woman didn't put a fucking hairnet on my beard. And then I got back into the OR, and then like had to, you know, I'm carrying like Dory Chuan this like labor playlist, and like I'm like trying to figure that out with this Bluetooth speaker, and I'm pressing that, and then like they pop the baby out, and then it was like this weird sort of thing of like, there's the baby, but like I didn't care about the baby at all at that moment because she, well, I was worried with her because she was still so out of it and shaky that I was like, good, go take.
Yeah,
I've got to deal with this one who can talk. But I got to go. I got to cut the umbilical cord. Mm-hmm. We brought Henry over to Dory. I have a picture of that. You know, what's funny is I did say to Dr. Brown over the curtain. I was like, don't skimp on the stitching for the C-section. And then she told the woman that was sealing Dory up to do this fancy knot.
Oh.
Like, so they like did a better knot than they were going to. It was funny.
That's good.
And they were like worried at me. They were worried about me like looking up over the curtain to see everything, worried I'd pass out. And then I was
in a funeral home.
I worked at a funeral home. I've seen the insides of many people. Don't worry about it. So once they were like, oh, he doesn't care. Then we talked
partners like pass out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's your wife's insides on the table
while
they're pulling a baby out. And I was like, all right, that's, honey, you got great intestines.
Who am I going to have in there with me?
That's the question, right? Yeah. I want you to figure this out.
Yeah, you do have to figure this out.
I think, you know, drag your dad, drag your mom, someone in there.
Well, I know my mom would like love to be there, but she's on the East Coast, so.
So then fucking she comes out.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, within, let's say, around a three week period around the due date is when you should schedule your mom to be out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so she can be there for the birth. Then I would kick her the fuck out.
No.
Just for like, you're going to need some time with the baby.
I'm going to be alone.
That's true.
Yeah. I got to get on Tinder. I got to get my man.
Send a link to this episode.
I'm just looking for somebody to be there when I labor. Okay, so then you had your baby. He's healthy and he's wonderful and he's 4.5 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a little trooper.
Yeah.
He's got a giant head that probably came from my side of things.
Now tell my listeners, did you think that I did okay with him?
I think you did great with him. I love that you got down on the carpet with him.
Oh, good. Other people would just stand and look from above?
I mean, sometimes people are worried about this whole, like, what? I don't want to get too close to the baby.
But you
got in there. You exchanged some real, genuine smiles back and forth.
We had some good looks. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I see it, you know.
So the verdict is I can have a baby.
The verdict is you can and should have a baby.
Oh, good.
And the follow-up verdict is get on Tinder, find your man. No, it's like, and also, yeah, that's the other thing too, I will say about single mothers by choice, that I am so impressed with that. Having now been through this on the having two people in the situation, it's just such an undertaking. And it is, you know, the fact that you're going to do it and you're like strong enough to handle this kind of a thing.
Well, we'll find out.
Just these first, like, honestly, it's the first, like, what do you say, like month and a half of
the first 6 weeks are
yeah, so that, you know, make your mom stay then for 6 weeks, whatever she can do, because it's like, you know, and then make sure you have people coming through,
meal train,
just so you can, honestly, there's going to be times when you're just going to need people to come through so you can fucking take a nap, you know, because you're going to be, you know, if you're planning on breastfeeding, if you're planning on dumping some LVs on your boobs, whatever, you're going to need that. You need, they always say sleep when the baby sleeps.
Oh, but we were going to talk about you for one sec. Sorry. You had said like, how many are you going to transfer or whatever at a time?
Yeah, well, let's talk about
that. So what's the deal with that?
We always did one at a time.
And the reason for that is why?
We did not want multiples.
And you were just,
we were just worried about that. And we also didn't want to waste the embryos. Think about it. Had we put all the embryos in before we found her septum, it would have been a complete waste of all the embryos.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So it's that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Too. And with PGS testing, they know, you know, which ones are more viable and hopefully going to stick. So there's less of a, because if you think about it, we had, you know, in the first round, what, 5 fertilized, 6 fertilized, something like that. And before PGS testing, they would have been like, okay, shove those 6 in.
Right.
And then, which would never have worked anyway, because we had a septum she didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Most of them weren't normal anyway.
So what is the logic behind people doing more than one at a time? That in case one... Sometimes
it's because they didn't PGS test.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's, I think, because they don't care if they have twins.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because they think it increases their odds of having one.
I'm curious about that.
Supposedly, it doesn't increase your odds of having one, but it increases your odds of having two.
Yeah, so it's like, well, don't.
Now, in my mind, there's something fun about the idea of twins, but also terrifying.
Sure, embryo still could split, by the way.
Yeah, that's also a thing that can happen.
Why does that happen more with this?
With IVF.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, because...
Unknown.
Well, they say it's actually possibly because of PGS, that like...
Oh, once
when
you
they kind of like once you biopsy and like disturb the embryo, it's more likely to split.
Interesting.
I mean, it's still very rare, but it does happen.
So what I'm saying is one.
Yeah.
Get a good.
Why do you think the FETs are so expensive?
Because it's all expensive?
Well, you think about the tech that has to go into this, the money they have to.
But it seems like they're just putting it up. Okay, they have to thaw it and put it up there.
They have to thaw it and put it up there, right? But they also have to thaw it. They also have to get these cameras that have insane microscopes. I mean, I
literally.
You have
to use a camera for the FET? I don't know how it works.
I literally watched Henry
being placed?
Exit that fucking tube.
Catheter.
And go into her lining. I watched that. I saw that moment with my eyes. Well,
I
want to
see
a screen.
That.
You can.
I mean, they record it for me.
No, you can turn your head to the left.
I'm awake.
And look at it.
Yeah. You're awake for the transfer.
No
see,
problem.
I don't know about the transfer.
You're,
no problem.
You're asleep for the retrieval, but you're awake for the transfer.
Yeah, the transfer is like an out. It's like an in and out thing. Not the burger chain.
You have, at our clinic, you had the option of taking a Valium to like relax, but mm-hmm. you didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it was. So look, it's been for us. It's been we did 5 full rounds, 3 yeah. transfers, and we have 1 baby to show for it. And
it's wild,
you know.
I mean, he's a great baby.
He's a great baby. We'd do it all over again.
But we went through a lot,
and you never thought any of this would happen.
No.
Any of what? That we'd have the baby?
No, you never thought you'd have.
I never
to
thought
go
we'd.
To these
I never thought we would have. No.
It's wild.
No. Just like, I'm sure, like, when you started the podcast, you're like, oh, just turkey-based, good,
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
All you were right. like, you thought the whole thing was going to be about choosing
the donor.
Yeah.
And then it would be a season of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and your season's all planned out. And then your doctors were like, no, we have more seasons for you.
People are loving your podcast, yeah. Molly. We need to stretch it out.
Molly, look, we're going to try a different protocol, but guess what? It could be a whole new season.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you all for that information.
I needed
it and the support.
And, yeah. And by all means, please keep us posted on what's happening.
Yeah, and we want to participate in your meal train.
And we would love,
you're so
absolutely.
Sweet.
We know what the best things were that we got sent to us. And since
well, now
it's
you're
fresh
making me
mind,
anxious thinking about a meal train because then I'm like, oh, God, what if I don't get pregnant?
We're
going to
figure
let's
this
not
out.
Talk about
okay,
it.
Let's not talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, but when you do.
When I have a baby, I get my
baby.
Gonna,
yeah, however you get your baby, we're going to hook you up with some foods.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
So you don't have to think about that.
Okay, that's nice.
No sugar either, because apparently you can't have sugar.
Yeah, well, I eat it now.
Oh, okay, great. Thank God. Thank God.
This is from the other podcast we recorded, guys.
I don't even know if it might have been from our random conversation we had, too.
Yeah.
No, it was, well, it was from the other podcast.
Tune into Matt Dory's Excellent Adventure to find out what the hell I'm talking about.
Exactly. And do tune in. It's a really great podcast, everybody. And tune into their other ones, too. Forever nice. 35 and James Bonding mm-hmm.
and Star Trek
something
Next Conversation.
Or other.
And then watch The Goldbergs Wednesdays
Trek.
At 8 on ABC.
And also, Dory has a book. She's an
I
author.
Do.
What's it called again?
It's called Startup, and it's
awesome.
A novel.
Awesome. Oh, it's a novel.
Yeah.
See? Oh, I need to read it.
It is fiction.
And then, you know, she's writing a new book.
I am
what?
Writing a new book.
Oh, that's
essays.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Everything's pretty much happening over here.
This
you know?
Is a great place to be.
Molly's got some meds in our fridge. It's
oh
great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, don't forget those.
And I got to go to Kabuki Sushi.
She's got to get to Kabuki
oh
Sushi.
Oh my God! It's already 2:15. I gotta go. Goodbye,
okay,
everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
And now it's actually 6:30 on Monday night. My egg retrieval is tomorrow morning at 8:45. I have another podcast to finish editing, so I am going to leave you here. I want to thank you all so much for listening, and thank you again, Matt and Dory. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, Dr. Kalen. Thank you to my Patreon subscribers, new and old. But new guys, let me remind you of who you are. Thank you, Ashley Binder and Laura Dean. And in case I forgot last week, Jennifer Wang, Jessica Caroline Nelson, I think I've already got you guys, but anyways, still thanking you from the bottom of my heart. Hey, do you want to become a Patreon subscriber? Then go to patreon.com/spermcast and you'll have access to all kinds of fun exclusive content. We got audio, we got video, we got written posts talking about my personal life, but most importantly, you're supporting this podcast and all the time it takes me to make it. No. Most importantly, you are paying for my fertility treatments. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And if you haven't already, you better go over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and subscribe, rate, and review. You know it's what you got to do. And if you haven't already, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Spermcast. I'd really love you to follow me on Instagram. I'm going to post a video of, are you ready for this? All of my shots.
that I've done. I've recorded them all. I'm going to edit them all together, probably after, you know, I've recovered from my retrieval. It's going to be so fun. You're going to love it, especially if you love looking at shots. Of course, if you don't like looking at shots, you can still follow me on Instagram. I'll put a warning before it, so you won't have to watch it, like, without asking. Anyway, I'm going to go now. I got to go do this retrieval. I love you so much. Talk to you soon. Happy birthday to my mom and anybody else whose birthday it is tomorrow. And good, love you, goodbye.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, gay, straight, black, white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need SpermCast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.